Our next celebrant is Oliver for 10 years.
I'm Isaac, I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 13th, 2015. I have a home group, it's Tampa YPG, we're here. And I have a sponsor and I sponsor others. And so I started drinking when I was 12 years old. And for the next 10 years, I would run my life into the ground, right? Drink alcoholically. And what happened is I ended up coming to you guys. Right, I ended up making my way here, and the only thing I knew when I got here is that I did not drink well, and that my life was miserable, right? That's the only thing I knew, and what I found out is that over that past 10 years, I had been wreaking havoc in the lives of everybody around me, right? The people that loved me, and yet, I didn't even know that, right? And but what happened was is that I came here, and over the next 10 years, right, those same people, they got to see me change, right? And it was so cool, you know, and I came here, and I was broken and kind of an asshole, as Terry said, you know? And, right, y'all sent me home a good son, right? And a good brother and a good friend, and, right, just a good person, you know? And my first year of sobriety, there was this guy, and he was going through a hard time, right? And he was living not in Tampa, and but people would talk about him, right? The people I was around, they talk about him, and they tell me, you know, tell me to pray for him, and they talk about how good of a guy he was, right? They all said that he was just this good guy that helped a lot of people, and when he moved back, right? I that's all I wanted, right? I just wanted to be a good guy. You know, I'd been an asshole too long. I just wanted to be a good guy. And when he came back, I asked him to sponsor me. And he said yes, right? And he proved those people right. Right? He is a good guy. And he's seen me through some shit, right? Some real bad times. But he's also seen me through some really good times. You know? He was the first guy that I texted when I proposed to my wife, and she said yes, right? First guy I texted, you know? And he stood next to me at my wedding, right? And, you know, I asked him to sponsor me, but it grew into so much more than that. You know, he's become, you know, my best friend, right? And that's just a miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, Ryan.
My name's Ryan, I'm an alcoholic.
Ryan.
Somebody left an iPhone 16, it looks like, up here. Kevin, I got you. Congrats, Kevin. It's a heck of a year, right? I've been there, and Terry, great talk. I always love hearing you talk. Thought you'd say more good things about me, but, you know, Isaac handled that, so. I've been thinking a lot about, since Isaac asked me to speak for him, what to say about him, right? And I was thinking like some funny stuff. For example, we went to Maryland on a trip like a month ago, right? And we got to the airport leaving Tampa, and Isaac told everybody that was near us that I was his dad, right? And the worst part is like everyone's like, oh, that's great, you know, follow us on the trip. Like they all believed it, you know? I was like, the hell, you know? We went fishing together once. He was in a kayak. I was in a paddleboard, and he called me, and he's like, I think my kayak's sinking. I said, how can you tell? And he's like, well, it's all the signs of a sinking kayak, right? There's water in it, you know what I mean? And so I went and got him, and I tried to just tow him, which is really tough. And so then he got on the front of my paddleboard, and I saw a boat, and the rule at sea, right, is if you're in distress, they're supposed to help you. So I drop him off with this boat, and then I start to turn around and go back fishing, you know? And he's like, you're not coming? I was like, no, you're safe now, right? I'm going to catch some fish. And I told my wife that story. She was appalled. And but there's all that, right? And we've had a blast together, right, these last 9 years. And, you know, what I really thought the most about is that when Isaac asked me to sponsor him was the hardest part of my life, right? I was going through the most stuff I'd ever, like the hardest stuff I'd ever been through. And I remember when he asked me, he kind of reminded me when I was new a little bit, and in a lot of ways not near as much, you know? And but I was just like, I feel like I'm going to be hooked up, right? I'm going to have somebody that I can focus on that's not me, and that's amazing, right? And that was true, right? Like, he called, right? And we, you know, got through the book together. We do all the stuff that you do in sponsorship, but then like he mentioned, right, like over time, you know, it's become so much more than that. And I've been blessed to have the opportunity to sponsor people and sponsor people for a really long time. You know, it's not everybody's experience, right? It just happens to be mine. And I've been sponsoring guys since I was like 7 months sober back in, you know, late 2003. And I've, you know, I've had the opportunity to sponsor Terry for, God, since 09. And, you know, Isaac since when he asked me, I guess that was 9 years ago. And, you know, Ryan up in North Carolina, sponsored for, I always ask him, I always think it's longer than it is. But, you know, such a blessing in my life, right? My sponsor talks to that, you know, I mean, sponsoring people helps them more than being sponsored, right? And I think there's a lot of truth to that. They both help me, right? I need them both. But, man, the guys I sponsor help me out so much, you know? And so my sobriety date's November 24th, 2002. This is my home group. I said I sponsor other people. I'm a sponsor. I'm like Terry, man. I love drinking. You know, I'm not one of those people that says I will never, ever say that I'll switch my best day drinking for my worst day sober. Not true, right? Like, not even close. You know, like, I had some good times drinking. I've had some tough times sober, right? But I wouldn't trade the lives, you know? But I, you know, I just was attracted to it, right? When I was like 9 or 10, 8, something like that, young, like younger than my oldest kid, right? And I saw my cousin take a drink, and I wanted it to be like Michael, right? He was my cousin, and there was a keg, and I didn't know how to drink out of a keg, so I just laid on the ground, and I put the tap in my mouth, started drinking. It was terrible tasting, right? Because I love like high C, you know, and you know, Schlitz on, you know, in a keg, you know, it's like a week old, it's not great, but I drank as much as I could, and that, you know, I got that effect, right? Like, I stood up, and it was like, for the first time in my life, it was just like this deep breath, you know? And I was like, I'm going to be just fine, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not 15, right? I can't break dance or skateboard like my cousin Michael. I didn't grow a rat tail like he had also. I mean, he had all the cool stuff, right? But none of that happened, but it just didn't matter. I was just good, and I'm very much like Terry, right? Alcohol always had that effect on me. Right, that's the reason I, you know, still come here, because I know that for a second there's going to be relief. You know, for a second I'm going to have that deep breath again, and that never stopped. Right, everything else turned pretty terrible, and so I was pretty much drinking every day by the time I was 17 and a senior in high school. I went to college. I got into one college. I applied there because it was the number one party school in the nation. The ratings were in Playboy magazine. I don't know if they still are. I don't know why they rated them right, but that was where it was. And you know, so I went there, right? I went there because when I was 16, I went with my best friend, and we drank with a bunch of sorority girls because his sister was in a sorority, and I was like, college is awesome, you know? Like, I can't wait. This is what it's always going to be like. My college experience was nothing like that. You know, and by the time I was, you know, after my first year, I was basically failing out, right? By my second, third year, I'm hardly ever going. I'm just drinking every single day. You know, at one point I went, and there's this guy that was at my school that I'd known since, like, kindergarten. And he was selling weed to everybody in Tallahassee, right? And I walked in with a beer at, like, 8:30 in the morning, and he knew my family. And he looked at me, and he was like, man, your mom must be so proud of you. Right? I was like, you're a jerk, you know, like, you're selling weed to everyone here, right? And you're looking down at me, and but he was right. The funny thing was, is when I got sober, I was a few years sober, and I went back to college, right? I was at HCC, and I walk in, and there he is, and I didn't notice it first, and he's like, hey, Ryan. I was like, Alex, man, good to see you talk. I'm like, hey, you a student here? Actually, I'm an English professor. Like, perfect, you know, I'm back, I might be in your class, you know, and but yeah, so I failed out of college, and I turned 21, and I moved into a little place in on Davis Island, right behind that 7-Eleven. It was like a quad, right? There was four little studio apartments. It was nice because it came with cable, right? If you paid your rent, you had cable. And at that time, they played The Karate Kid on HBO nonstop, right? And that's like a great drinking movie. because you can kind of come out of a blackout or come home and the Karate Kid's on. You don't really need to get caught up. And so I just sit and drink and smoke cigarettes and watch the Karate Kid. And I got this job delivering pizzas at this one of the pizza delivery joints. And they there's two of them. I interviewed at both. I got offered jobs at both. And I took the one that sold liquor, because that's like 401k for an alcoholic. And so they served liquor. They paid me in cash. And I would, you know, I lived behind that 7-Eleven. I'd get a 12-pack of beer when I woke up and at 3 in the afternoon. I'd start drinking. I had a little cooler in my car. I had a little like TV about that big, black and white, 6-foot rabbit ear plugged into a cigarette adapter. I don't even know if cars have cigarette adapters anymore, but mine did. You plug it in, you watch black and white TV while you drink and drive and deliver pizza in y'all's neighborhoods, you know? And at the end of the night, I, you know, get tipped out, I get paid in cash, and I would sit there and drink. And at 2:55 in the morning, I'd look at my watch, and, you know, they stopped selling booze at 3, and so I'd make my, you know, athletic run to the 7-Eleven to get as much more booze as I could handle, right, or as I needed. And, you know, half the time I'm, like, falling on the way, you know, and I would walk into that 7-Eleven, and that 7-Eleven people that worked there would look at me with the same look of, like, disgust, you know, disappointment. You know, like, you have so much potential, right? They didn't even know me. It's just like the same as my, like, if you see my parents, they just look the same way. I mean, it's like the guy that works overnights at 7-Eleven is judging me now too. And go home, watch Karate Kid, as mentioned, and then at 6:55 or so in the morning, I'd be back up at that 7-Eleven, sitting on the curb, waiting to go and get as much booze as gonna put me to sleep. And I would watch these people walk in and get a pizza, or not, I work pizza. They would get a, you know, donut or coffee or newspaper or whatever, and I just think, I can never be like you. And not that I, like, didn't want to be, right? Like, the 12 and 12 says, you know, I mean, all scorecards point to zero. That's what my life looked like, right? Like, there's people with worse bottoms than me, there's people with higher bottoms than me, but there was not one thing I could point at and be like, that one's going to work out, right? You know, that pizza delivery job, I wasn't getting out, you know, employee of the month, right? I've met so many people that I worked with in AA, you know, and I'm still, like, bottom tier, you know, at the job. You know, I failed out of college, my family's not speaking to me, my poor mother is a single mom, alcoholic, the whole thing. I'm breaking into her house in the middle of the night and crawling across her floor and stealing money out of her purse, and I always mention that, right, because when I got to AA and I found the steps, right, and I saw 5, I knew exactly the stuff, right? The stuff that I didn't want to say hit me right away, because I can macho up a fight that I lost, right? Maybe say I won, you know, I never did, but I could say that, right? All that stuff, the stuff that held me in bondage was the stuff like that, right? Because I would wake up from a night of drinking and that would come back, right? I'd black out all the time, but the stuff that I would always remember would be that kind of stuff. Stealing from the people that loved me, you know, taking, you know, their peace of mind. And that stuff, that was the stuff that was killing me. And so to be able to say that in front of a crowd of people like that is Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Because what happened was, is I said it to a sponsor in my fifth step, and it lost its power. And it became something that I could use to benefit others or to help others to have a similar experience of that look of disgust for the despicable things we do when we're drinking to keep drinking. Because I didn't want to be like that, right? I wanted to be a good guy. I turned over new leaves all the time, you know? And I just, like, it didn't work, right? The craziest thing about my drinking to me was when I got in, like, rehab, and I was, like, reading a little bit of the Big Book. What I noticed in my life was I would wake up every morning for that 6 months that I was drinking in Tampa, and every morning I'd think, I'm not going to drink today. And I would expect that there'd be a big fight in my head about that, right? And that would make sense to me. That sounds like powerlessness, right? Like, I fight it, I make it. The scariest part about it for me was, what did that firm resolution, never to drink again, I'd just be drunk. Right, it wasn't. There's no fight. It just happened, and that scared me. You know, I wish I had, like, some epic great ending to my story. Terry didn't mention it, but he was, like, on a high speed motorcycle chase, right, by the police. I've never been to jail, right? Like, I don't have anything cool, right? My wife used to be an AA, and I said something once. I was like, we're talking about people's stories. Like, what about mine? She's like, yours is just sad, you know. That's kind of true. Every day looked like that. Not one good thing happening in my life. And then one day my dad came to me. He's like, I don't know what's wrong with you. And, like, for the first time, I was like, I do. I can't stop drinking. And he came, and the best, like, so I, that little place I was staying at, right, with the cool thing about like science is if you leave dirty dishes in a sink long enough and dirt everywhere, bugs just grow inside the house. It's amazing, right? And it's like a miracle of science and life. And my dad opened the door and bugs flew out at him, and there's cigarette butts everywhere and empty pizza boxes. And, you know, I'm one of those drunks that ashes in a beer bottle and then drinks it accidentally. And then, you know, even if there's nothing left, you kind of got to make do, right? You might strain it if you have a colander still, but if that's gone, then you just, you know, power through, right? And, you know, he walks in and sees that, and he's mortified. And, you know, I get stuck in a rehab. Rehab's like summer camp for adults, in my opinion. Should I go back today if I could? I smoked like 2-3 packs of cigarettes a day. I wore sweatpants all the time. It was, you know, 3 hot meals. It took us to AA at the end of the night. It was awesome, right? We did arts and crafts, meditation. You know, like we walked on the beach, right? Like it was amazing. You know, I don't think my wife would let me do that now, but it would be, you know, really nice to just take that month off and make hemp necklaces again. And but they took us to AA, and you know, kind of long story short is somebody told my story, right? And I got out of that rehab and I started going to AA, and I started going to AA because I started coming to this home group in late 2002, because I was at the Noonyan and I shared about something, and a young woman that was sober about 6 months and she was about 19 years old came up and talked to me. And when I'm drinking beer, whiskey, and I'm eating free pizza and like hot dogs from 7-Eleven, right? So I have like I'm like 50 pounds overweight, but it's all in my belly and my cheeks, right? And then I'm really weird now because I don't drink and I have no idea how to be social. And so I'm saying weird things to this girl. And then we leave, and she invites me to her home group. And I'm like, yeah, you know, she doesn't like me, blah, 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 but maybe I'll check it out. About 5 minutes home, you know, all of a sudden, I think she really does love me, you know. I'm going to go check out her home group. And so I came here, and I got swept in by you know, a group of guys. There was like 8 people here, and I still remember all of them. A couple are dead, a couple are drinking. David's still here. Bill W's here when he's not here tonight. But, you know, besides that, I don't think anybody's still sober. But I got just brought up in that group, right? And I got into service. I got into sponsorship. Like I said, I sponsored my first guy when I had like 8 months sober. I was like, I don't know if Chris says he's like this, but what Terry described Chris as, I was the exact same way, right? I'd call the guy I was sponsoring, he'd call me like, I got this, and this going. I'm like, I think you should pray about it. And I hang up and call my sponsor. My sponsor, what do I say? And he'd be like, say X, Y, and Z. I'd call him back and be like, yeah, I was thinking about it. I think you should do this. And, you know, and I just had that experience of getting to, you know, be blessed with sponsorship. And I had like a nice run, right, of like 10 years where everything went really, really good. I got married. I went back to college. I graduated. I got all kinds of degrees now. And you know, like, it's just like got a job. I moved to Orlando with my wife after we got married. I'll tell you a funny thing about AA weddings is my wife's like super Catholic. I'm Jewish. And so my wedding was like, you know, half old Cuban women, right, and Catholic women, and half Jews and AA members. And AA ends the Our Father after Catholics do. And so it was 100% easy to tell who the AA members were in my wedding, because they say the Our Father, right? And it was just like a bunch of people with like brand new suits on, you know, continuing to go on with the prayer. And my sponsor was at my wedding. Guys, I sponsored her on my wedding. I had the opportunity, you know, I lived with Terry for a while. That was awesome. He made cakes, which is like a pancake about the size of a pan. And then moved to Orlando, and my mom came to visit me. My mom was, you know, bright yellow. She cirrhosis of the liver, right? Bad, bad, bad. And when I went to her house to go, you know, kind of get her to try and go to the hospital, I opened up the door and bugs flew out, right? I have that experience. You know, we bring Skid Row home. And, you know, my mom went to the hospital. She, you know, didn't drink for about 8 or 9 months. And then, you know, the cirrhosis caught up with her, right? And, you know, and I mentioned that, you know, AA was so a part of my life, right? I was living in Orlando. I was coming back to Tampa to be with my mother. My mother was in hospice. The guys I sponsored were picking me up and taking me to meetings. My sponsor was here. We were talking about my 8 steps. Is there anything left I need to do with my mom? And they just told me, no, just go be a son, right? My mom died. And the next day, I literally found out I was going to be a father. My daughters are adopted, both of them, which is really crazy if you think about it, right? Because it's not like the old-fashioned way where anyone can do it. I had to, like, the state of Florida approved me to be a father, which is insane, if you ask me, right? Like, a guy like me, like, I had nothing that was going good. And the state of Florida's like, yeah, you're good. You could be a good dad. You know, I'm like, all right, we'll see. And my daughter was born. I remember she had the hiccups. She was like 3 days old. And I asked the nurse, I was like, hey, what do you do when the baby has hiccups? Like, what do you do when you have hiccups? I was like, I don't know. It's a baby, right? I can't give her a spoonful of sugar, right? She can't drink a bottle of water upside down. Like, I just, there's no training here. You tell me what I'm supposed to do. That's why we're here. And so we did that. And I had my second daughter adopted again. And my second daughter got sick when she was about 2 months old or 3 months old. She had terminal brain cancer. And I lived in a hospital for 4 months, right? And they showed up for me. You know, there wasn't a day to walk by the waiting room. There weren't people waiting to talk to me if they needed it, right? And then when my daughter passed, I started sponsoring Terry about 2 days later. I started sponsoring Isaac about, I don't know, a few months later. And man, that hooked me up, you know, because there's that point in my life I was belligerent, I was angry, I had no faith in any type of higher power. If there's a higher power out there, how could there be? Like, they wouldn't let that happen. And she was perfect. She'd never made a mistake in her life. Like, why would that happen? Couldn't believe in any of it. And getting to sponsor those people during that time period was the reason that I'm still sober today, in my opinion, right? I don't know if it's true or not, but that's my opinion. That's my experience, because it was just enough to stay in the middle of the boat. And like, you know, kind of like the outside of the middle, right? Not like directly in the middle. But that was, you know, just enough of a connection where I was still coming. And, you know, things, it was a tough time, right? And it was like that, I'd love to say, you know, 3 months, 6 months. It was like 5 years. Just tough and barely here. And after some time, I ended up kind of just getting back in, right? I got the sponsor I have today. And that's wild, right? Because I got the sponsor I have today. I asked him, and like 3 weeks later, my wife walks in, and she's like, I'm pregnant, right? Which is, my wife says, like, you know, one of our kids was unplanned, but I won't tell you which one, because there's like an 8-year age gap between the two of them. The doctors have been telling us we're never going to, you know, get pregnant or carry a baby the whole time. For 15 years, frankly, we're like, yeah, we're good, we're gonna travel, you know, like, we're gonna have some fun now, you know, and then we get pregnant, and that, no traveling, so I got a little boy, he's about to turn 3, you know, like Terry mentioned, I lost my house in the hurricane last year, like, everything in it, and the crazy thing about that was, is, you know, I mean, my life had changed enough that when all that stuff happened in the hurricane, I mean, there was, like, ups and downs, for sure, it's terrible, but at one point, I looked at my wife, I was like, I don't know, this is like top 3 bad things that's happened to us, right? It's just stuff. We're going to be all right. And the coolest thing about it was, is that for basically that whole time, I had a real faith that I was going to be taken care of. And I've never had that. Right? That's never been in my life. And I had it basically the whole time. Maybe there'd be some times where it's like, all right, I got 2 houses now. One of them's, you know, environmental hazard. You know, I can't afford either of them right now. You know, there's some times there was some stress, but like, I just knew it was going to work out, and it did, right? It's fine. Everything's, you know, we're replacing stuff, right? This is like, this is the first time I've worn this tie, right? It made it through the hurricane, which was awesome, but it was like folded up in my wife's office for like 7 months, and so I went and got it dry cleaned, and then left it hanging. So there's like a real weird line there. Don't worry about that. But like, you know, look, I can tell you that I've had great things in my life. I've had hard things in my life. It's, you know, it's been up and down. There's always been this joy of AA, right? And whether that's, you know, my mom when she was dying asking me about my friends in AA, because my mom never went to AA, right? She'd ask, like, I'd be like, there's women there, they'll, you know, your age, right? She's like, I'll just talk to you. I'm like, that's not going to work, mom, you know? And, you know, but she'd be like, how's Mike? How's Terry? How's David? How are these people? How's Isaac? Like, she knew everybody. I don't think she knew Isaac yet. Was that before? I don't remember. She didn't know Isaac. She would have liked him, though. You know, so I've gotten, like, I've just been taken care of, right? And I try to remember that it's just my responsibility to just be here, right? And this is, like, my job, right? Everything else is, you know, I mean, kind of, if I do this, everything else seems to just be okay, right? And so I feel like it's my responsibility to continue coming to the meeting, right? To be here in my seat at the end of the row on the third aisle, you know, and to shake hands with people when I come in and try and talk to new people. And I'm not perfect. I see my friends. I want to hang out with them. I'm really busy. But I try and do that stuff. Because that was what was done for me, right? The big book at the back and the vision for you talks about it, right? Like the guy that's brand new and he comes in, he's terribly, you know what I mean? Just terrible, right? Life's terrible. And the people in A are like crying about other people's good stuff and laughing at their misfortunes, right? And it's like I found haven at last. And And so it's my responsibility to create that. And my grand sponsor before he died talked about this is a haven for the suffering, right? Not a showcase for the content. And so I got to make that haven. Right? That's part of my responsibility. And, you know, I'm just, 10 years is wild, man. I'm so happy to, you know, to get to be a part of your life and just watch, you know, Isaac grow and watch Kevin grow and just to see the amazing, because I don't see it in my life. Right, it's like I just don't. Right, my life is so different than it was when I was new. I just don't. It's, you know, I'm too self-centered. I take care of number one, and but I get to watch, and those guys are so different than they were when they were young. And I'm like me, like, probably in spite of themselves. Right, like I didn't get better because I wanted to get better. Right, I got better because I didn't have any choice. I got better because David was doing his fifth step. I didn't want to get too far behind, and we had the same sponsor. And if he did his fifth step, and I hadn't. I was gonna be number two pigeon, right? There's two of us, and I didn't want that. Like that's like the act. The motives don't matter here. Is the best part, right? Like the actions matter. And if I keep taking these actions, I can be okay. And so I'm really happy to be with you tonight. Love you, Isaac. Congratulations to Kevin.